Dear brothers and sisters, at that time, people were accustomed to Jesus' teaching in parables about the kingdom of heaven because Jesus gave most of his teaching about the kingdom in parables. So people would then automatically compare themselves to the characters in the parable and see whom in the parable they themselves were like. Today's parable of the sower makes us reflect what kind of soils we are. Are we hardened path? Or are we hardened rock? Are there thorns in our life that choke the word of God? Or are we good soil? Soil in which God can sow his word. So these questions of how we are before God are critically important, because in order to evangelize, we must first be good soil. God must run our life. We can reflect on this parable of the sower also from another perspective, namely from the sower's perspective. God is the sower, that is certainly true. But we are called to be co-sowers. In fact, the ordinary way God sows his word is through the church, through each one of us, you and me. And we do not our job. There is no sowing of the word normally. There's a well-known poem attributed to Saint Teresa the Avila. She says, "Christ has no body now on earth but yours. No hands, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks with compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless us now." Christ is now in heaven. Who will now bring the word to the people, the church, you and me? How can we be good sowers? What are the conditions for evangelization? Let's first look at Our Lady. We celebrate today the Mass in her honor, honor of the Immaculate Heart. She is the paradigm of both being good soil and spreading the word. Mary first conceived the divine word in her womb, and only then and through her we receive the word of God. She is the soil par excellence. There is no more illuminating event in human history than the Annunciation. The word of God is sent by the Father. He descends from his eternal throne and enters into our time, into our world of misery and sin. He becomes flesh by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Now, what are the qualities of this good soul who is Mary? "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to thy word." It's about faith, humility, and obedience. Faith is a tremendous power. Authentic faith can move mountains, can move God to do great things. But faith must mature, must go through trials, like in Our Lady's life. And that is the foundation for sowing the word. Then humility. What is humility? Humility makes us open to receive the grace of God. Pride keeps the word away from us. And obedience makes it happen. The word becomes flesh. All motivated by charity, of course. And this good soil is Mary. Mary is like a blank sheet of paper on which God can write his will, her life story, her mission. Mary is totally open. Therefore, what we need is first this intimacy with God, this silence with God, God must become man in us, like in Mary. Often Our Lady is portrayed in an annunciation scene. There's a lectern. On the lectern is a Bible. It simply indicates Our Lady was at home in Scripture, was at home with God. The Word of God was, she was familiar to the Word of God. What does Mary do with this grace now? She's now the Mother of God. She has received the Word. Does she lean back and enjoy the pregnancy in a palace? After all, the angel said, he will be great, will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there will be no end. Wow! Our Lady was 14 years old. What does Mary do? Mary, immediately after the incarnation, having learned from the angel Gabriel that Elizabeth was with child, Mary was moved by the love of the incarnate Word in her womb, visited her cousin to serve her needs. Here you have the dynamic of the Word sowed in good soil. God becomes man in Mary. Mary says yes. Mary never says no to God. That's important. Never say no to God. That's the foundation for evangelization. And so, God becomes man in her, but then she brings him out to others. She receives grace, but to this grace, God attaches a mission. And the same with us. The more grace you receive, the more you're called to mission. Then Mary went in haste to Elizabeth, who exclaimed, "When the voice of a greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leapt for joy." Our Lady, and in and through her, Jesus reached out to Elizabeth, and something great happened. It seems that the grace of the Holy Spirit was jumping from Mary over to Elizabeth. Not only Elizabeth herself was filled with the Holy Spirit, but amazingly, St. John also was freed from original sin, was sanctified in the womb of Elizabeth as the sound of Mary's voice. And since then, all graces of evangelization come through Mary. What John Paul II said, "Perfect devotion to Mary is indispensable to anyone who means to give himself without reserve to Christ and to the work of redemption." So let us embrace this grace generously. But once we do that, we cannot keep this grace just for ourselves, but like Mary, we need to go out to others. We are all called to visitation like Mary. We are to be Christ bearers. A holy soul once said, that's the dynamic of God's grace. Imitation of Mary means to let God become man in us and then bring him out to the world. Christ needs us. He needs you and me. Pope Benedict once said, God needs people who, so to speak, make their own flesh and soul available to him, give him the matter of their lives, thus serving the unification between God and the world, enter the reconciliation of the whole universe. It's not just about sowing the word for gaining souls, but the whole universe must be reunited to God. All this is evangelization. Even the physical creation needs to be evangelized. Now, there's another element in evangelization, which we easily forget or downplay. And that is the angel's mission. We readily accept the role of Jesus and Mary. But most people need a little bit longer to realize that also the angels play a key role in sowing the word of God. By the way, not just you are listening here, your angels are listening to me too right now. In fact, like Mary's life, the Lord knocks through the angel at the door of our human hearts. In the book of Revelation, God says through the angel of Laodicea, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will enter his house and dine with him, and he with me." God speaks through the angels. What is the role of the angels in evangelization? The angels are God's messengers and work towards the salvation, sanctification of every human being. According to the author of the letter to the Hebrews, are they not all ministering spirits sent to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? All the angels are sent to save the whole world. The angels are our fellow brothers, who like us are fishers of men. They fulfill a key role in sowing the word of God into souls. And their ministry is intimately connected with ours, as Thomas Aquinas points out. He says, when we communicate the faith, I simply read this quote, this may be better. Faith requires that what is to be believed be proposed to the believer, which is accomplished by man. According to Romans 2:10-17, faith cometh by hearing. Principally, however, by the angels by whom divine things are revealed to men. Hence, the angels have some part in the enlightenment of faith. So this means angel and man together are sowing the word. So in evangelization, there's a human element and there's an angelic element which play together. They are simultaneous. Man and angel work ordinarily always together, whether they know it or not. The human contribution, we are here in this three-day boot camp to learn about evangelization. Then we go out and share our faith with others. According to Thomas Aquinas, faith comes by hearing. That means we propose our faith to others through word and example. This human element, though necessary, is not sufficient. Therefore, Thomas adds, faith principally is communicated by the angels by whom divine things are revealed to man. Hence, the angels have some part in the enlightenment of faith. In other words, we preach the gospel. That is necessary. Without it, the angels have no success either. So we need to preach the gospel. But then the angels work mysteriously and hiddenly with us. They inspire us, the evangelizers, and simultaneously they mediate to the listener the supernatural grace of faith. Open the heart and mind of the listener for the word of God. And this is the ordinary way for the communication of faith, whether we are aware of it or not. When St. Francis de Sales went to the pulpit, he used to pause a while, looking around the people present and greet first the guardian angels. And he was asking them to make his listeners well disposed towards him. And this was one of the reasons why you could reconvert 70,000 people back to the Catholic faith. St. Paul of the Cross, the founder of the Passionists, had the same custom. Padre Pio, who is probably the greatest saint in the past century, he was renowned for his constant contact and collaboration with his guardian angel and with the angels of his spiritual proteges. Once he remarked that he was guilty of neglecting his angels, that means having omitted to collaborate with his angels even more perfectly. And he could have obtained even greater fruit if he had done better. Now, angel comes from the Greek angelos, which means messenger. The angels are messengers. When we are sent on missions, we are also messengers. There are so many unemployed angels because we do not work with them consciously. Why is this all? Why does God want that angel and man work together? God is community. He wishes that we work as communities. He created Adam and Eve. Adam was incomplete by himself. He needed Eve, and only then he was complete. God sent the word into this world, but he wanted to become man only through the collaboration of Mary. God wanted Jesus and Mary together to save the world. Not only Jesus, but Jesus and Mary together. And God wanted man and angel to work together under the influence of Mary for the accomplishment of his divine plan. This was in Mary's life, and the same goes for our lives. The Catechism says, the whole life of the church benefits from the mysterious and powerful help of the angels. The whole life. There is no liturgy, there is no prayer life, there is no evangelization, there is no mission without the angels. That's simply what the Catechism says. Likewise, the angels take part in all our good works. In our mission, the angels are there, and without them, normally, God can always go out of the ordinary, but normally without the angels, there is no success in mission. Therefore, I encourage all of you to take Mary into your hearts. She is a paradigm of evangelization. Without her, there is no evangelization. Jesus always comes through her. In a similar way, the angels are ordinarily involved in all our efforts of evangelization. The more we build a friendship and consciously work with them, the more abundant fruit will come. So let's imitate Our Lady. Let God become man in us through a prayer life, through conversion, dying ourselves. Never say no to God. Let God really become one flesh in you. And then bring him out to the world, in Mary, with Mary, through Mary, and in union with Saint Joseph, and with all the holy angels. Amen.